everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers. I am your host, Garrett Wong, and with me, my co-host, Robbie Duncan McNeil.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How are you, buddy?
Hello, people. I'm good.
I already incorporated our shorter intro right there. You like that?
I liked it. It was nice. This is just getting better and better, this show.
Yeah.
You know what?
You were talking about needing a nap. I think this is something that as we are now in our 50s, naps are really key. I mean, it's unbelievable how much sleep time that I feel like I need extra sleep time. And you also, same thing.
Same thing. I find that when I'm filming and working, I have to go, when we break for lunch for our 30 or 45 minute lunch, I have to go in the trailer. I have an app on my phone. I put on this thing called Calm and I put it on for 15, 20 minutes and I just have to lie down and I don't always nap. Sometimes just like breathing and meditation or something like that is just as good, but like just calming my brain and my body for 15, 20 minutes. Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember when we were filming that Tim Russ took a lot of naps and he would tell me, he'd say, listen, 15 minutes will do you a world of good. And I kept thinking, really? 15 minutes of nap time? I can't even fall asleep in 15 minutes. How do you do it? But, you know, he had his little reclining beach chair on the set. And he had a little personal heater. So he was always warm and a bathrobe and slippers. So, you know, he was the master of naps.
He knew how to relax. He knows how to relax.
He does. He really does.
College football is back. I'm a big college football fan. My team yesterday, the Georgia Bulldogs,
yeah,
very slow start against Arkansas. It was kind of scary the first half. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe football players are playing football with COVID and all that. I didn't expect that it was going to happen this year or the NFL or any of that.
There are certain divisions, certain colleges that are not playing, right, at all. But when it comes to the South, football is such a institution that I think they said, you know, we're going to play, COVID or not, we're going to play.
Yeah.
You guys still have the same coach? Is it the same?
Yeah, we do. Kirby Smart at Georgia. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And Georgia is just known for providing the NFL with some real quality running backs. I'll say that there's some Georgia running backs that it's almost guaranteed. If you're the starting running back for Georgia, you're going to the NFL.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
They call it running back you. They call
That's right. Who in the past decade, who are your favorite Georgia running backs that you just adored or loved?
Well, I love Nick Chubb, who had just graduated, just went in the NFL last year.
Amazing. Cleveland Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cleveland Brown. Nick Chubb is great. Noshawn Marino, I loved.
Oh, right. Yeah. Did DeAndre Swift go to
DeAndre
Georgia?
Swift is, he's up at.
He's a Lion now. Detroit
Lion. Yeah, with Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love college football. There's something about that. It just feels like fall. It feels like holiday time of year. So, yeah. Anyway, it was nice to see some football back, but I took my nap. Getting back to the nap thing, was watching some college football. Got a little nap in. It was a perfect Saturday yesterday.
Perfect.
And, you know, I had to rest up because we've got a show to record today.
That's right. That's right.
I have to do my exercises, my podcasting, rewatch exercises, laying down on the couch, testing my fingers for the remote, the pause button. You know, this is hard work.
We should shoot a whole video of you, a montage of you working out your finger, working out your other various, you know, muscles that you have to use while
for a rewatch.
For rewatching.
Yep.
All right. So this week's episode is Persistence of Vision. Mm-hmm. So we are going to rewatch this episode and come back with our recap. All right, guys, we're back from the rewatch of Persistence of Vision.
Yes, we are. What's your initial reaction to seeing that?
Creepy.
Here's my initial reaction. What the hell was B'Elanna doing with Chakotay? I didn't remember that. That's my initial reaction.
That's your takeaway. I agree with you. It was very Twilight Zone-y, but I do agree with you. I don't remember Chakotay smacking on Torres. What the heck?
Falling down in the bed, and then she's like, give me that stuff.
She attacked
him.
The Klingon came out in her. You hear that? She's like, no, no. She's like, yes, rawr. And she just kind of devoured him. And I was so shocked.
That's my initial reaction is I got creeped out by B'Elanna. I'm glad that I didn't remember that she had these buried thoughts about Chakotay, or we would have had a conversation about that.
It's written by Jerry Taylor, directed by Jim Conway. I'm going to go ahead and give you my haiku.
I can't wait.
Here we go. Captain is so stressed. Visions and voices galore. Resonance burst saves.
Whoa. Nice haiku. I'm going to try to just do a limerick rap right now off the top of my head.
Okay, wrap it out.
I'm just going to wrap out a limerick rap.
Go.
They went into both a space. They were seeing things all over the place. Janeway got kissed. And Paris got dissed, and Kes and Neelix had Alka-Seltzer on their face. That's my limerick. Limerick rap.
Bam! Dude, you knocked that out of the park. You were a Georgia Bulldog running back scoring a touchdown on that one, my friend.
Came through with a limerick rap off the top of my tongue. Yeah, that was Alka-Seltzer on their face, by the way. Okay. It didn't really, my limerick synopsis didn't really capture the story, it rhymed.
You say Alka-Seltzer. What I wrote down, down s'mores. It just reminded me of camping and marshmallows and s'mores graham crackers and meltedness, that's kind of what it felt like.
It did look like a s'mores.
Hey, Janeway's hair, it's back to the bun, but there's some highlight going on. I don't know if you noticed. It was sort of blondish in the front and red in the back.
I actually made a note that I liked her hair this time. This version of the bun, I actually thought was very flattering. Is there some versions of the bun that...
Yeah, business up front, party in the back.
No, this was a good version. Good version of the bun. We're entering both a space, they talk about it, just passing through, just looking to meet them, get permission to pass through. Clearly Janeway is stressed out at the top. Clearly.
Big time
stressed out. We're all, that's clear from the beginning. I gotta say, I love the mini doctor at the very beginning when they project him in and he's like this big, and they did it before. Like there was another episode, I think in season one that we watched where he was a tiny he was shrinking.
He was shrinking. Yeah.
But I love when they play around with those ideas with the doctor and they change up his voice a little, like it starts getting a little cartoony like that. I wish they had done more of that. Like played with the idea of his size and his voice. I think it could have been a lot of fun to have, if we need to sneak into some place where tiny little doctor could have snuck in there, and I think it would have been awesome. I don't know why we didn't do that. That was great. I loved it. It makes me laugh.
So that's a mistake that Torres and Kim did, right? So they tried to project him to his normal size and he was tiny. And then I thought the doctor was really kind of snapping orders at us. And I had no idea that he outranked Torres and Kim.
On health issues, he outranks
the captain. I get that.
Yeah.
But on his own projection issues, he doesn't, he doesn't hold the rank of captain.
No. Can't tell. But he snapped at everybody.
Like he's so snappy.
He's a snapper.
Dr. Snapper. Dr. Snappy. Did it confuse you when we first see that Bothan captain, the way he's backlit You know, all that light's coming in from the back. To me, he looked like a dog sitting there with his front legs extended and the back, you know, he just looked like a dog to me. And not until later at the very end when he gets up and then he turns into to your father and he turns into Mark for Janeway. Then you realize, oh, he was sitting normally. It just, it seemed very, to me,
very mysterious. Yeah.
Mysterious. And I just thought, wow, he looks like he's sort of some canine race of alien. You know, that's what I got.
That would have been, by the way, let's just pause for a minute. Why didn't we do an episode like that where they had dogs or something, some animal, and they could have put voices into the animal and we could have gone and met some species and they could have used dogs or pigs or goats or whatever? That would have been kind of cool. I wonder if they ever thought of doing that.
We never touched on that, did we?
No, we always would see these kind of humanoid with rubber on their faces aliens, but they never really, or eventually we got, you know, CG aliens of some sort, but we never played with the idea that, which I love, that like we could meet an alien that looks like an octopus or something, or could look like a dog. That would have been fun.
You know, it's interesting because I remember talking to one of the makeup artists. And I was talking about, because he was doing the sort of a clay representation of the next alien's, you know, face. Mm-hmm. And I was watching him do that. And I was just mesmerized. And I asked him, I'm like, what, how does this work? Does Michael Westmore, the head of makeup, does he tell you exactly what he wants? Or does he give you guys free rein to sort of, you know, do this or that? And what are your influences? Like, you know, what influences your decision to make an alien's face look like one way or another? And they said, well, a lot of it we take from nature.
Yeah.
He's like, we'll look at certain insects and we'll look at certain things in that are in existence now as real creatures, you know, on Earth.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of meld that into what we would like to see. And I thought, oh, that's cool. But they've never done anything with, you know, like a canine race. We haven't
seen that. Yeah.
You know, when they're in the mess hall?
Yes.
And Janeway's finally eating and he shows her the different dishes he's cooked. The brine soaked nestle strips and the deviled wood frock. Both of those were straight from the Asian market. And
I knew
this because I've been at Chinese restaurants at banquets with my family, a big banquets. We're sitting there and I recognize that.
Yeah.
And I think the nestle strips are actually, I think that's octopus, to be honest. And then, or possibly some type of intestine. I don't know. I don't remember. Like when I go to a Chinese restaurant, I just eat whatever is thrown in front of me, but I do recognize those items. And I just found it interesting how that, and we've talked about this before, like in order to give the look of some exotic alien food, they would go to, you know, find what's the most exotic
Asian Asian foods tended to be what they would do some mashup of, like take an Asian dish and then do some twist on it.
Right.
And that would be the alien version. Yeah. Yeah.
But then that makes me wonder if Star Trek Voyager was produced in China, if it was a Chinese
show. Would
they
be French fries?
And fried chicken and
pizza.
Apple pie and pizza. Right. And they'd be like, look at this alien food.
True.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, when Janeway says someone was walking on your grave, talking about Kes having a weird feeling. And she says, that's an old saying on Earth to describe an odd feeling.
Yeah.
Have you ever used that saying yourself?
No, but I've heard it. It's a little dated.
A big time. I've never heard of it before.
Someone's walking on your grave if you get the chills. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I want to go back for
a
second and talk about Janeway had her very first kiss on screen in that Holo novel.
Are you sure about that?
I don't think she had a kiss before that. Did she? We've watched these now and I was all of a sudden like, wait a minute. I know there was some flirting. There's been some of those kind of things, but I don't remember her having a kiss until this episode on screen.
We talked about that flirtation with Chakotay when she was totally staring at his lips in that
But
one,
she didn't kiss
episode,
him yet.
But she didn't kiss him on
And Rich. That guy on the pleasure planet, she kind of flirted with him, but I don't think she kissed him.
Oh, that's right, because I was the one that kiboshed that, right?
Yeah.
Kim ran into the scene and just kind of screwed up the entire romance.
I don't think that Kate Mulgrew had filmed an on-screen kiss until her Holo novel in that that opening, that first round in the Hollow novel.
I think you're right.
Michael Comsty. I think that's her first kiss. And by the way, she has her second on-screen kiss in the entire episode with the actor playing Mark, her fiance, in the same episode. Two different kisses on screen. She hasn't had a single one up until now. So
yeah,
I thought that was an interesting, wow.
Yeah, two smooches.
Lots of smooching. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in. And B'Elanna is getting some, which
well, that's her I've first time, right? On. Isn't that her first kiss? I don't think she's kissed anybody.
No, I don't think so.
Until this point.
No.
I also noticed whenever I'm in a scene with B'Elanna, I look at her or she'll look at me whenever, and we won't. It's sort of like I'll glance at her and she's not looking at me, and then she'll glance at me.
Away.
And then, and then we look, it's like our looking
timing is
our
way
look
off.
Timing is off. It's and I don't know if that has to do with me being intimidated by the fact that she was, you know, I was buying the fact that she's half Klingon and really living my role as Ensign Kim and believing that she was half Klingon and being intimidated by her Klingon.
Just bad timing.
It's just bad timing.
Yeah, the sick bay scene with Cass getting the chills and Cass feeling what Janeway is experiencing and having her telepathic abilities. I love, again, another reminder of how important Cass was in these first couple seasons.
Yeah.
I had forgotten, and I think I dismissed that character more than I should have in my memory because they wrote her off and she left the show. But as I rewatch these episodes, I am really impressed with Jennifer Lean's performance and with the writing of that character and how important she was. I mean, she ultimately saves all of us in this episode, you know.
Yeah. She shows a lot of range.
A lot of range, absolutely.
Very impressive for her age again.
Yeah. I loved in the sickbay scene the music. I forget which composer did this. I want to say Jay Chataway, but I can't remember. The horror sort of strings when the little girl appears.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like a horror movie, like The Omen or The Exorcist or something like that. And you see the little girl and you hear this, like on the strings. It was great.
It really adds to it, doesn't it?
And oh, the music. Yeah. The music was awesome.
Yeah. It elevates the tension.
Yeah. So good. We had great composers on Star Trek. You know, we've talked about it before, but I just will reiterate that we had three composers that sort of rotated. But they would write these entire orchestral scores with a full orchestra that got recorded. It's unheard of now. It just doesn't happen. But
I didn't know there's three. I thought there was just one. So there's three that sort of like just went off.
I think there were three that did rotation. Our show. I'd have to go back and look and I should know that. But Jay Chataway, I think, was one of them.
Yeah.
I'm spacing out on the other two. But
that's okay.
But really, really great music work in this episode, I think.
The knife slash by the hallucinated, the hallucination of the governess character, whoever that woman was.
That was in Janeway's quarters?
Yeah, in her quarters. Do you notice the knife is in her left hand? And so she slashes from left to right. But if you look at the actual wound, it's the wrong way. So it's that's like something, up. It's the other the other way. It's completely, it should be the wound should go from upper left of her hand to the right in a descending sort of a motion, but it was the other way. So it was as if she used her right hand to slash down. So
it was all in her mind. This was all a hallucination. Maybe that was a choice that we do things kind of something's off. It's just not connecting. I don't know.
And like I said, these are really random small things that I noticed. And I also noticed that. It made me laugh when Tuvok sees his wife, Pell, and she says, "And right in front of you is your loot." And I kept thinking of, you know, is that your loot or are you happy to see me? Like, you know, I remember making fun of Tim on set about that. I'm like, hey, you know, you've been playing with your loot lately. I was just doing, you know, guy jokes with him about that on that day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had a thought about the when Tim saw his lute, which, by the way, we never saw him play in the series. Did he ever play the lute?
No. And see, this goes back to my complaint about how they made me the person
learn. Learn the clarinet.
I had to learn a clarinet, something I had never played before.
Tim should have
played the damn lute.
And he's a musician. It would have been awesome. And by the way, they cut to him. She goes, "You're back home on Vulcan. Look around you." And they cut to him on this planet. Yeah. And I'm like, who the hell would want to be on that horrible planet? It looked like hell. It was like fire and desert. And I'm like, do you think it looked horrible? That's a horrible neighborhood. Why would she say, like, oh, you should be happy you're on Vulcan? No, I'm damn happy I'm not on Vulcan right now, because this is a bad neighborhood.
It looks like Death Valley in the U.S.
It looked horrible. By the way, in that same sequence, you know, the actor that played Tom Paris's father was not Richard Hurd.
No. Who is that guy?
I forgot. They originally hired, and I don't know what that guy's name is, but we'll have to look it up.
I sat there and I said, wait a minute. This guy's eyebrows are way bushier than Richard Hurd's. This is not Richard Hurd.
So. No, I forgot that they switched that out.
They switched him out. But I will say, of all the main actors on the show, when we all landed into that state, that catatonic state, other than Kes, obviously, and the Doctor, I'm most impressed with your state of catatonia. You really look the most catatonic of all.
Thanks, buddy. You did.
It was a side profile view. You had your mouth was a little bit agape. You're like this. You're kind of looking up, but it looked real. I bought it. Like the other ones, I was like,
I got a question though. The whole thing about, like, Janeway is dealing with this for the first two or three acts.
Yeah,
she's having hallucinations, and she's not going into a catatonic state. And then suddenly, for some reason, when everybody else starts finally having these hallucinations, they freaking can't handle it, and they turn catatonic.
Yeah.
Like, the rules seem to change, and that sort of bugged me, I gotta say. Like, I wish that Janeway had become catatonic early on, and they had figured out, like, she had had the strength to fight through or something, so that later on, when other people started turning catatonic, you're like, oh, well, Janeway's super tough. And I don't know, it just seemed like the rules changed, and I hate when that happens.
You're right about that. I mean, that also brings up for me questions of, did that firefight even happen?
Yeah,
like when we were getting, you know, oh, we have, you know, damages on this, our shields are down, did that even happen? I almost feel like no, because that guy was so good at, you know, controlling our minds from wherever he was. He wasn't even there. Like, those ships weren't there. He wasn't there.
Well, we did get readings, and it said these are automatic. There's no life signs on
those
ships.
There's no life signs on those ships.
Yeah. So it was very, very confusing. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of turning catatonic, but I wish that it had been set up earlier or dealt with earlier, so it didn't feel like all of a sudden the whole crew is turning catatonic and somehow the captain never did. That confused me.
Yeah, because it really seemed like everyone at the switch of the light was switched and they were immediately catatonic, right?
Yeah.
Nobody had any power to resist at all. And then Janeway spent the majority of the episode fighting it, and finally giving into it, right? So, so that was a little bit of a...
By the way, I got to say, so in all honesty, like when Chakotay comes in and B'Elanna's, and he's flirting with B'Elanna, and like, I started getting uncomfortable. Isn't that weird? Like, that was just my character was married to B'Elanna, but yet somehow I'm like, Beltran, what are you doing?
Were you jealous? Wow, that's so weird.
Isn't that weird? It was a part of me because I forgot about it. So I was like, I didn't remember this. Like, I'm a little jealous. Like, I'm a little... What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was kissing her and he put his hand up by her neck. And I was like, I'm going to strangle my wife. Like, get your hands off my wife and stop strangling her. Because that's my half Klingon life.
Yeah, I could see you getting uncomfortable. Yeah. I was just still so shocked by that scene, like not remembering one iota of that even being filmed. So that to me was like the whole time I was watching going, what? And now they're going to do it? What? I was so,
I know.
Oh my God.
Janeway gets another kiss.
In the turbo lift. Yeah, yes. Right. I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed it looked like a horizontal scar on Janeway's nose, like right above the bulbous part of the nose. You didn't see that at all?
No, I didn't see that.
And I was just wondering, is that a childhood scar?
Maybe it was something for the episode, or maybe it was something that happened in her life and they were trying to cover it up during that episode. I don't know.
Yeah, it just, or it could be just something from the makeup department, you know, a gaffe on their part, but that's something that I saw.
Interesting.
So when Janeway is knocking Mark away, his hand away, when he's trying to, you know, get funky with her in the elevator and the turbo lift, it just reminded me of Keeley watching TikTok and singing a song where she just, it goes something like this. She goes, "Stop, don't touch me there. This is my no-no square." And I so random, but that's all I could think about when she was like, you know, "I won't let you touch me," and she pushes them away, and it just reminded me of that random
that TikTok
chant. Stop. That talks, don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Sort of a way to,
all right, that's good predators. To know.
Yeah, you know,
I'm gonna use that
chant. You gonna use that? I think you should use that on set too. You're talking to
"Stop, don't touch me there. This is my no-no square."
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Doctor and Kes save the day again. I feel like the Doctor and Kes are always saving the day because she's telepathic and he's a hologram.
Yeah.
It's a
You're
little
skipping over your scene in the hallway, Robbie.
No, I'm about to talk about that. So that plasma burn, and when Kes was hallucinating and I was pretending to be hurt in the hallway, that makeup I thought was so cool. It was the first time I'd had a really cool big, you know, prosthetic, because they did half my face with that plasma burn. That's the night, and I've told this story before. At the end of the night, they usually take off the makeup, give you a hot towel and everything. And I was like, no, don't take this off. It's awesome. I got to stop for gas on the way home, and I'm going to go in and get some snacks. So leave it. And I'm just going to go, I'm going to see if I'm driving, if anybody notices. So I did. I left that. That's the plasma burn, exactly, that episode. I don't know what night of the week it was, but it was dark when I was driving home, and I stopped for gas, and I remember people looking at me like, you know, a lot of stares. And then I went in to get some snacks. I don't think I needed anything, but I was like, I just got to go in and get like some soda and some chips or something, stand in line with my plasma burn. And I think that actually the lesson, it was fun for me because it was a silly game.
Yeah.
But the lesson for me, I remember thinking afterwards of like, wow, that was an interesting lesson for people who are not so fortunate that do have physical things, whether it's, you know, birth defects or whatever they have. Oh. I was really aware of people staring. Like,
wow,
when somebody looks different, the way that people sort of look at you is like a monster or a...
Yeah.
And I know that was a scary makeup, but it gave me some empathy for people who have things that are not their fault in any way. It's just they're born with them or have something happen to them, and how that can be very difficult to move through the world and stuff. So that's the plasma burn, though. That hallway scene, I went home that night and wore it all the way and then washed it off at home.
Well, I love how it started as a gag, an experiment.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be like a laugh.
Well, not to take away from your lesson and not to make light of your plasma burn, but my notes were, and the minute I saw you, I thought of that time during the big Las Vegas Trek convention where you, Rebecca, Megan, and I went to go eat at the coal-fired pizza place in the mall there. Uh-huh. It just... Your face looked like the bottom of the coal-fired pizza crust is what it reminded me of. That's sort of like that coal treatment. It would look like you were, you know, a coal miner that was involved in an accident.
Yeah. So,
those are the days.
Those were the days. Restaurants, pizza, malls.
And you walking like a model.
Oh, that's right. They had like the Las Vegas fashion, the fashion, the fashion runway
show mall. Yeah,
they would do fashion show mall. So I went up on the ramp and did a little impromptu fashion show.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm such
an introvert. I don't like attention.
I'm gonna have to post that on the Patreon page. People,
do you have the video of it?
I do have that video. Ah! I have.
You should.
And post the other good one I have that I need to post is of you. I don't know if Rebecca has this, but when we were in Turks and Caicos for my birthday, did you record? Did she record you on the pole dancing like a pole dance?
No,
I have that too.
So on the boat?
On the boat?
Out on the boat? I don't know. Okay. Oh, I don't know.
I'm gonna post that one too. Okay.
All right. Deal. I have no pride, no shame. By the way, I just want to say that, sure, B'Elanna may have some deeply buried attraction to Chakotay, but that was a dream. She didn't really sleep with him. So I just want to go on record as saying, like, B'Elanna did not actually have a real affair with Chakotay.
But did she have a real attraction? Was that her secret, though? Was that her secret?
I mean, yes, I think that was her secret. I think that was her deeply buried desire. But just like Janeway didn't actually kiss Mark in the turbo lift.
No, I know. I know that. I'm just saying, but the fact that she had that deep desire.
But I guess, yes. Yeah, she definitely had the desire. But all I'm saying is, like, in the series of Voyager, B'Elanna and Chakotay never actually had.
Correct.
A thing.
No, they never did.
Yeah, which
they never acted upon that.
Yeah, because I'm a little jealous about it.
I know you're jealous. Does it make you feel like less of a man? Does it?
Yes.
Does it make you feel like?
Yes.
Oh, I knew it. And she secretly desired Chakotay.
I also want to say, when Neelix comes in and Kes is trying to save the day with the warp burst or whatever, in engineering, the resonance burst.
Yeah.
And Neelix comes in and he's so worried about it. And then he sort of turns into evil Neelix. I liked evil Neelix.
He plays evil good.
Yeah. I was like, I wish Neelix would be a little evil now and then. Like, it reminded me of the pilot and that jacket, the coat that I love so much.
Yeah.
And evil Neelix. That's all. I liked it.
Yeah. No, there were a lot of like mirror universe moments going on of everyone flipping over, you know? So, that's a good note. That's a good note. I had issues with figuring out the, theme on this one, and we talk a lot about this a little bit before, so I'm going to let you roll and run on that one. Okay,
well, I think for me the theme was more of a question than an answer. Is it better to know the thoughts that you have buried? Everyone has buried thoughts, subconscious. So the theme is it better to know those and bring those to your consciousness and actually become aware of it, or keep them buried? To me, that's the theme is a question, not an answer. And I think it's interesting. I think you had said even Janeway actually says something to B'Elanna there at the end about
the last scene. She's basically saying, maybe we should look at our, you know, these deepest thoughts. We should address them, look them in the eye, but then bury them, you know? So it's sort of like, you know, address it, deal with it, but yet not share it or something like that, you know? So I guess for me, it's really kind of like in Hamilton when Aaron Burr tells Alexander Hamilton, talk less and smile more. And, you know, basically saying that you don't need to say everything that's on your mind.
Yeah.
You can keep things inside, and sometimes things are better left unsaid. So maybe that is the theme for me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I also thought that I think Kate at the end, Janeway, has a line where she says, I'm going to take a break from fantasy now, or something like that. She's talking about her holoprogram. And I thought that was interesting, because this idea of like the fantasy of her holoprogram is where sort of her losing touch with what's fantasy, what's reality, like what was bringing up her issues of guilt with Mark and her, you know, her partner from home and the one that she really truly loved, and yet there was this fantasy. And it reminded me, all of that together sort of reminded me of this saying I heard, which is, it goes something like, accept life as it truly is, not as I would have it. The thing I love about that is, like, there is a reality, and sometimes we get in our heads a story. For Janeway, it was a Hollow novel, or her guilt about Mark, or her story that the ship could not run without her. There's so many stories. And the truth was, there was this alien that was playing around in her subconscious. Yeah. You know, that was actually, so I guess in a weird way, that accept life as it truly is, not as I would have it, is a great kind of theme or a lesson that I got out of this episode, in a way, of like accepting these buried thoughts, accepting reality as it truly is, not the stories we put up around them. Like the Janeway line, you know, I'm going to take a break from fantasy. Fantasy can be an escape and a break and a vacation sometimes, but it can also be an avoidance of dealing with reality or accepting reality. And sure. So,
deflecting.
To me, there was a lot of those kind of issues and themes that I really appreciated in this episode. So
awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's our recap, unless you have anything else to throw in there.
No.
Okay.
That was it. That is my feelings about projections. And
it's not projections, it's persistence of vision.
That's what I meant. I was testing you. But the reason I mixed up the titles.
Let's keep this in the edit, please.
Persistence of Vision is the real name. But the reason I got mixed up is because I'm very unhappy that B'Elanna cheated on me in her subconscious fantasy. I still am having issues.
It is.
It's really bugging me. Let's be honest. It's really bugging me.
I can tell. It really messed you up.
Yeah. I don't like it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in for our recap of Persistence of Vision, otherwise known as Projections. And we'll see you next week when we review Tattoo. Thanks, guys.
Bye.